And the next report will be given by Sergei Dmitriev. Status of the factory of super heavy elements.
Dear Mr. Chairman, dear member of Program Advisory Committee, let me introduce what means the super heavy element factory today. Yes, as you know, that during the last 16 years, the six new elements, starting 113 up to 118, they were synthesized in our laboratory with using the reaction with calcium 48. I didn't repeat the name, you know. Yes, but all this experiment was carried out with using the U400 cyclotron with the calcium ion beam and ion intensity about one particle micro m. The facility for synthesis and registration of new nuclide is Dubna gas field recovery separator with transmission efficiency about 35%. Of course, the main goal of factory of super heavy element, it's the first of all experiment at extremely low, less than 100, maybe 10 femtobar cross section, including the synthesis of new super heavy element with reaction with not calcium 48, but with titanium, chromium, synthesis of new isotopes of super heavy elements, study of decay properties of three, study of excitation function. And experiments require a high statistic, nuclear spectroscopy of super heavy, precise mass measurement, study of the chemical properties of the three. Yes, the main part of the three factory, as you know, this is a factory building, new cyclotron DC-280, and new facility, first of all, new gas field separator. Yes, this is the parameters of the new cyclotron. In case of the calcium and chromium, we expect to reach the ion beam current up to 10, maybe 20 particle microamps. That means at least 10 times more than we have today. This is the main parameters of new cyclotron, energy from 4 up to 8 MeV per annum, the magnetic field from 0.6 up to 135 Tesla, yes, the magnet weight about 1,000 ton, and power 300 kilowatt. Yes, the magnet practically was manufactured and assembling in the Kramatorsk, Ukraine. It's 2.5 years ago, the middle of the 2014, and the December 2014 was transported to Dubna. Yes, you remember this building 2.5 years ago. And you remember our visit, practically all members of our program advisory committee, yes, visit 2.5 years ago, June 2014. This is the experimental hall for new cyclotron. Yes, you know that we was needed to cancel the present contract that time with all their company, which was responsible for construction, and select another construction firm on the competitive basis. And the general contractor is the Yavastroy, and in September, that means 1.5 year ago, the civil construction has restarted. And we plan to expect to complete the only civil construction at the end of this year. What we have now, you see the new building. The really civil construction is practically finished, but the main task, the engineering system inside of the building. Yes, and the 15th September, the previous year, 2016, we start the assembling of DC main magnet in the experimental hall where you've been 2.5 years ago. This is the 15th September, the same day, in the first low part of the magnet was installed. This is the 15th September. This is the 21st September. This is the 28th September. This is the October, this first coin, which production by Romania. This is the two coin, this 31 October. Yes, this is November. And now, really, the magnet of DC 280 cyclotron ready for testing. I think they've from middle of September or the end of December is good time for assembly. It's quite complicated job. Yes, not only magnet, of course. This you see the transformer substation. Yes, and the chillers, water cooling system, also practically ready in the next room, inside of the building, close to cyclotron room. Yes, this is the assembly and testing of the control system. Yeah. And this is our time schedule for installation. It's, of course, quite low position, but we expect to obtain the first beam in the end of this year. This is our plan. Yes, I told you that transmission of our gas field recoil separator about 35%, a new separator which now created mounting in the Sigma Phi company, France, we expect to reach, in case of the calcium, 60%, in case of the iron, about 75%. We expect that new separator will be ready the middle of this year, and the second part of this year, we start the installation in the experimental hold of our cyclotron. Yes, and the first experiment, I told you the previous pack, we expect to start next year, and the first reaction, you see, it will be a reaction, repeat the synthesis 115 and 114 elements with reaction with americium and plutonium. Yes, first of all, we have enough material to prepare the target. That means we can to construct more large target square in order to test ion beam current, what means the 10 particle microamber. Nobody use so high power in the target, maximum 1.5 particle microamber. We need to test the cyclotron with using the common the target. Yes. First of all, it's very good that we can repeat this experiment to study the spectroscopy study, chemical study, and because the cross section of this reaction, you see about 8 picobarn in case of the plutonium, in case of the americium up to 10 picobarn, is quite good reaction for testing of the cyclotron. But then, next year, we start experiment devoted to the synthesis of element 119, maybe 120, with using berkelium target and californium target. I told you previous pack that we have very good collaboration with Oak Ridge people in the United States, and in program of the DOE program for isotope production, the special indicate that produce the target curium, berkelium, and californium, yes, for super heavy element factory in Dubna, Russia. Of course, it's very important for us, and tomorrow we leave Dubna and fly to Oak Ridge, and I hope the next 3 days we can opportunity to discuss this part of our work more carefully. Yes, and in case of the titanium, we will be use titanium 50 instead calcium 48. It's our joint work with our people, with our colleague from Strasbourg, France, using the MIVAC method, metal iron volatile organic compound. And the first experiment with using the titanium 50 was carried out the 2015 in the separator shell in our laboratory. And we reach about the half particle microamber of titanium. Of course, in case of the new cyclotron, we expect to have at least 5 particle microamber. And you remember this schedule. Professor Rusakovich showed this picture. And as I say that we expect to receive first beam the end of this year, and therefore next year it's 5,000 hours for new cyclotron. Of course, it's 5,000, not only the experiment. We need to test the cyclotron system. We need to the reach the necessary ion beam current and so on. But at least half of these 5,000 will be devoted to a real experiment. This is the short report, the status, what we have now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the report. And
I say questions. Only about factory, sorry. I don't say about the Akulina 2 and the other project of the DRIP 3, because it is she factory.
Yes, please, questions.
Sergei, I mentioned that as the first experiment done in the factory, you chose the calcium 48.
Yes.
How much the intensity will be larger than previously at this U400?
Yes, the average ion beam current for all experiment which we use the calcium, about one particle microamp. It's now. In case of the factory, we expect to reach at least 10 particle microamp. But we need to test not only cyclotron. We need to test our target system. Yes, why we propose to use the americium and plutonium target, first of all. In this case, we can increase the target surface 2-3 times. And then we'll increase the ion beam current up to 10 particle microamp and look what happens with target.
So the intensity for calcium 48 will be about one order more, yeah?
What?
The intensity will be about 10 times more.
Yes, 10 times more we will have in the cyclotron ion beam current. Two times the increase the efficiency of new separator.
Yeah, but also transmission also will be higher, yeah?
Yes. So that in the first experiment, we expect to increase efficiency, total efficiency, at least 20 times.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
I have a question, Sigurd. Please.
In order to go to the limits with the beam intensity, wouldn't it be good to use less radioactive material, like, for instance, uranium, where you also can produce similar compound, uranium oxide,
yeah.
Similar as for the more radioactive americium or plutonium oxides.
Yeah.
And this is one to use. Also, my suggestion would be to use uranium at the beginning because it's less radioactive. And second point is the backing of the target material. Maybe so far we always use titanium backing. But maybe an alternative could be carbon backings. Also, in general, developments of targets for the future could be very important for using these high intensities.
First of all, yes, the two main effects of the higher beam current on the target. First of all, it's of course the heating. Yes. Second, this is the scattering. It's radiation stability of the target. Then, if you use the carbon is only 6, titanium 20. It's like square, 36 and 400. It means the carbon at least 20 times more stable than titanium in compare with radiation stability. Maybe beryllium, but not heavier than titanium. This is the main problem. Of course, it's good to use the carbon, but carbon, in case of the plutonium, you produce the carbide of plutonium, but carbide plutonium is not the uranium carbide. uranium carbide quite stable and higher melting point. In case of the plutonium, you will see the reaction disproportion of plutonium and produce plutonium neutral, plutonium zero. And melting point of plutonium zero quite low. It's not possible for plutonium target.
Yes. Is any possible theoretical alternative to your method of creating superheavy elements? Just hitting one heavy element to another one. Maybe there is another one, for example, three particle interaction or something like that.
Sorry, Vadim, it's a new idea. I don't understand what your proposal.
You see, in early universe, three alpha particles joined to create calcium. No, calcium, carbon. It's very important.
Of course. Yes. For Baikal experiment, it's quite good.
By the way, it's not in the early universe. It happens in the stars today. So, and in the early universe, the carbon was not created. But if you have, please comment. If you want free particle reactions in nuclear physics, it's not that trivial.
I know. I've got you, Marek. Sorry.
So, free body reactions. This was the proposal to create the compound nucleus, free particles putting together.
Okay. For new idea, including free particles, no comment. it's fantasy. Other question, please.
No. Let me remind you that at one of the two packs ago, we had a quite long discussion, not on the free body reactions or free particle reactions, but on the heavy-on-heavy, on the transfer reactions. And this is indeed something definitely to be explored. Uranium-uranium, for example, all these kind of reactions.
Of course, we look at a new approach to synthesis of super-heavy, not only using the projectile like titanium or chromium. Yeah, but reaction plutonium plus plutonium, uranium plus uranium. But you can understand, but in order to reach the cross-section about femtobarn, you need to have uranium ion beam current at least 10 times 12. Yes? We expect to have 10 times 10. It's two order of magnitude lower than necessary.
Yes, please.
Let me ask in a different way. You have so much experience now with the staying of targets with calcium beams and also high-intensive calcium beams up to one particle microampere. On the basis of this experience, what would you expect, how much intensity you can really give on the target?
First of all, we think about your experience. You have the pulse beam. Yeah? What real ion beam current of the point in your separator? It's about 5 particle microamp. At least. Yeah?
No,
we don't have the pulse
maximum.
Beam. We have the... Yes? If we increase the surface of current at least 2 times, I hope we reach it, 8, 10 particle microamp in case of the calcium, not in case of chromium, it's more. Yeah. If you calculate the heating in your point, pulse beam, today we have the surface of the target 32 square centimeter, 32. If we increase about the 60 or 70 square centimeter, yes, first of all, we need to increase at least 3 times ion beam current and increase the time of radiation in case of the radiation stability. Because radiation stability is the square centimeter. The fluence per square centimeter. This is the reason why we think about the big target. But of course, we need to think about the small target. in case of the berkelium, in case of the californium. We cannot increase the surface in case the californium 251. It's rare material and high radiation.
I have still one question. On the ion source level, in order to increase the beam intensity by a factor of 10, in principle, you should increase the beam intensity by a factor of 10 at the ion source level already.
Yeah.
So what are the current results which you have with the existing ion sources for the calcium 48? Can you really demonstrate that this increase can be achieved today?
Yes, good question, but it's not only ion beam. Current from ECR and source. It's efficiency of acceleration. Yes, we modernize the central part of the cyclotron and expect to increase the efficiency at least, I don't remember exactly, but at least five times, I think. Five times in comparison with today. Mm-hmm. Yes, it means that we need to increase the ion current of ECR source only two times, not 10 times. Mm-hmm.
I don't see other questions. Thank you very much for the presentation and answers.
And we'll go to the next point, which will be presented by Bahir Shaibonov.
And the topic is the GNN neutrino program, Baikal neutrino experiment towards high energy neutrino astronomy. Yes, please.
Good evening. My talk is devoted to GNR neutrino program, Baikal neutrino experiment.
Microphone.
Sorry. My talk is devoted to GNR neutrino program and Baikal neutrino experiment. So you can see here in this picture neutrino spectra from various neutrino natural and artificial sources, and you can see cosmological neutrinos that produced in Big Bang, but energies is so small and we don't know how to detect them at the moment. And in MEV energy range, we have plenty of sources: solar neutrinos, supernova neutrinos, terrestrial geo neutrinos, reactor and anti-neutrinos. And in GV TV energy range, we have atmospheric neutrino fluxes and astrophysical neutrino fluxes from cosmic accelerators, and as well as terrestrial accelerators gives fluxes in this energy range. So GNR neutrino program is widely covers major neutrino topics using these neutrino sources. Our colleagues participating to accelerator neutrino experiments, NOAA and OPERA. NOAA is aimed mainly on the mass hierarchy determination and in other neutrino parameters. OPERA experiment is mostly aimed at new tau appearance. Baikal GVD is searching for astrophysical and atmospheric neutrinos. And Baraksina experiment measures components of solar neutrino flux as well as geo neutrinos, and they are going to search for sterile neutrino using radioactive sources, and this experiment calls SOX, and our colleagues also take part on two double neutrinoless double beta decay experiments, SuperNEM and GERDA. And GERDA uses germanium isotopes, and SuperNEM uses other various type of isotopes. And the rest of experiments detects reactor anti-neutrinos. Diaby and Juno precisely measure many parameters of neutrino oscillation as well as supernova neutrinos, maybe. And we built a dance experiment on in Kalinin power plant that is searching for sterile neutrinos and reactor monitoring. JAMA2 experiments searching for anomalous neutrino magnetic moment, and NewGen experience will search for coherent neutrino nucleus elastic scattering. So I will talk about Baikal experiment in more detail. Baikal collaboration consists of 9 institutes, mostly from Russia. Recently, 2 institutes has joined our team from Czech Republic and Slovakia. Total is 55 physicists and engineers. So, as I mentioned earlier, Baikal experiment is searching for astrophysical neutrinos. Of course, we need a huge detector deep in the water or in the underground. And academician myself, Alexander Andreevich Markov, who worked in our institute, proposed in just after discovery of neutrino, proposed in 1960 to install detectors deep in a lake or in the sea and to determine the direction of charged particles with help of Cherenkov radiation. This idea gives us the possibility to build such a huge detector. Few words about neutrino detection principle. Imagine that we have a three-dimensional array of photo sensors deep underwater, and we have 2 main detection channels. The first, the main, is neutrino-induced muons. Muons propagate through the detector, emit Cherenkov light, and hit photosensors that are located next to the track. And it gives a very long track in the detector, and so good this channel characterizes with good angular resolution, about 1 degree or smaller. And because muon propagate through the water several kilometers in TV energy range, so neutrino vertex can be very far from the detector, and this fact significantly increases the effective volume of the detector. So the second main detection channel is neutrino-induced showers. Showers are produced in all neutrino interaction channels, in neutral current and in charged current, and in by all neutrino types. This is bright anisotropic point-like source that's seen in the detector. Angular resolution is moderate, 3 to 6 degrees, and it have a good energy resolution. And it is important to note that all this neutrino detection occurs in a very huge atmospheric muon bundles that have rate a million times larger than neutrinos, even in 1 kilometer depth. So, the first neutrino that registered by this method was registered by our first generation neutrino detector NT200 in 1996. And in 2013, IceCube collaboration unveils the first astrophysical neutrinos. This astrophysical neutrino flux is not so small. And now we are building the second generation neutrino detector, and we are sure that we will detect astrophysical neutrinos. We are working in the southern basin of the Lake Baikal. Depth here is 1,366 meters at only 3.6 kilometers from shore. And deep water characterized by high light transparency and low light scattering. And this is fresh water. Fresh water gives us opportunity to use simple mechanical constructions made of stainless steel or even irons. There is no background from potassium-40 in fresh water. There is no bioluminescence. And the most northern location allows observing neutrinos from the galactic center, from below, 18 hours per day. And there is a good infrastructure on the shore. There is a railroad and power line. And the last but not least, the robust ice cover that covers the lake 2 months in a year is an excellent deployment platform that give us possibility to use simple and cheap deployment techniques. So our detector equipment are located on vertical steel ropes that we are called it strings. And upper buoyancy is just under the lake surface. So the detector can be easily accessible from the ice cover or can be rearranged without disassembling if needed. This video shows cable laying procedure, bed cable laying procedure. You can see a tractor that cuts the ice, and cable layer that puts this cable to the bottom of the lake. Here you can see ice camp. This is detector deployment procedure. We installed optical models, detector equipment to the vertical steel ropes and lower them using these winches. So the main element of the detector is an optical model. Optical model consists of 10-inch Hamamatsu photomultiplier with high quantum efficiency that is glued into 17-inch glass pressure-resistant sphere. It connects through the underwater 5-pin industrial subcon connector. And there is two onboard LED flashers for time calibration. So we are building a gigaton volume detector, our second generation detector. It will consist of 2,304 optical modules, and they will be arranged in 8 autonomous telescopes that we call clusters. And distances between clusters is 300 meters. And you can see here many short cables, and one bed cable will be used for photo clusters. Height of the detector is greater than half a kilometer, and diameter greater than 1 kilometer. depth is from 750 meters to up to 1,250 meters. And now the first cluster has been installed and taking data since April 2016. The cluster consists of 288 optical modules at eight strings. Distance between strings is about 60 meters. Each string consists of 36 optical modules, and spacing between optical modules is 15 meters. So we have an acoustic positional system that monitor position of optical modules during the year. And there are three calibration light beacons, matrix of LEDs, that is used for interstring time calibration. Main physics goals of Baikal GVD is the investigation of galactic and extragalactic neutrino point sources in TV and PV energy range. If we would detect point sources, it would be point source of cosmic rays, and this would be give and shed light in a long-standing problem of origin of cosmic rays. The other goals is diffuse neutrino flux, its energy spectrum, local global anisotropy, flavor content, and investigate transient sources like GRBs, and the indirect search for dark matter and exotic particles like magnetic monopoles, etc. Performance of Baikal GVD is the following. Effective area for muons, that's shown in red, is about 0.2 square kilometer for 10 TV muons, and rises up to 0.6 square kilometer. And the angle resolution for muons is a quarter degree. Effective volume for showers is about 0.2 cubic kilometer at 100 TV, and rises up to 0.6 cubic kilometer. And the distinct feature of the detector is the angle resolution for showers, that is from 3 to 6 degrees. We have registered many events. This is an example of events that was registered by the first cluster. This you can see upward, nearly vertical, upward going track event. The red hits the earliest, and the blue one the latest. And this is a bright down going shower event. You can see that it was located in external volume. And energy is promising. The energy is 158 TV here. So the status of data analysis is ongoing. Time and amplitude calibration have been done. Raw data have been processed, and events are prepared in automatic regime. Offline software framework BARS is realized and widely used. And the reconstruction and background rejection techniques are under development now. A few words about infrastructure. You can see on this picture a new lab for long-term test that is operating now in Dubna. And this picture shows a new optical module production line started in Dubna. And you can here you can see the control center at the Baikal show installed in August 2016. And you can see here the building in Baikalsk town that is prepared for as a local lab and optical module storage. Baikal GVD timelines. we had two timelines with short clusters and with long clusters. Now we prefer long clusters. In 2016, we have one cluster. In this year, we will deploy the second one, and in the next year, we are planning to install additional two clusters, and we will finish. We are planning to finish construction phase in 2020. So, it brings me to a conclusion. Baikal collaboration has more than 30 years long and extensive positive experience on development, construction and operation underwater facilities. All elements and systems of the detector has been developed and tested in lake in situ. And the extended cluster with 288 optical modules has started taking data from April 2016. And completion of Baikal GVD with 2,304 optical modules with volume about 0.4 cubic kilometer for showers is expected in 2020. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the report, and the report is open for discussion.
Thank you for the excellent presentation. I just have two questions. The first one is just on the geoneutrinos that you have to worry about. And the second one is, are you able to run correlations with ice cube? Because if, as you correctly point out, you've got an event from extragalactic matter slicing through the Earth, and then you have the antipode of ice cube, so you can correlate that signal, right? So is there such a possibility? Thank you.
The first question is about geoneutrinos. Baikal cannot detect geoneutrinos because geoneutrinos have energy in MeV range, so our threshold is about 10 tenths of GVs. So, and geoneutrinos can be registered by Baraksin experiment that our colleagues take part in this experiment. So, and what about the second? We are complementary for ice cube. Ice cube can observe neutrinos mostly from northern hemisphere. And we, because it is located in the south pole, so and we are in the northern hemisphere and can observe mostly southern hemisphere. We are complementary each other. So,
yes, please.
Just the question that I asked is, not sure of the geography. Mm-hmm. Are you able to correlate? Because when you've got an extragalactic event. Will you run a coincident at what?
It may be, but field of view is different for ice cube and for us. We observe southern hemisphere by using this main detection channels. We detect neutrinos through the ears. Yes, and ice cube is observed mostly northern hemisphere.
What's the angular resolution for Baikal GVD detector in comparison with the ice cube?
Yes, it depends on what detection channel. For through-going muons from below, it is for us is a quarter degree for big detector, and for ice cube is a little bit worse, about 1 degree, because ice is very. Very scattered. In case of neutrino-induced showers, we have moderate angular resolution, about 3 to 6 degrees, and ice cube have 15 degrees and more. and to 45 degrees. It's very difficult to reconstruct angular resolution for showers in very scattering media, as ice in Antarctica.
Yes, please, Adam.
I have one question. You mentioned that in the whole flux of neutrinos available over there, there will be some component of a reactor neutrino. But from where are these? In that region probably are not reactors.
Yes, reactors in MEV range. And ours, in case of Baikal, the threshold is tens of GV, 10, 20 GV. We cannot register, of course, reactor neutrinos, but there are plenty of neutrino experiments that uses reactor neutrinos. And, for example, dance experiment that will monitor inner part of core of the reactor, and can see different fluxes from antineutrino from the core of the reactor.
Okay.
May I have also a question? How many neutrinos do you expect with 8 clusters in this energy range, which you per year or something like that?
For atmospheric neutrinos, is 10,000 neutrinos, and in case of astrophysical neutrinos, it depends from analysis from rejection background rejection techniques. So. And at the moment, we expect one astrophysical neutrino per cluster, eight events in for 1 year, eight events for whole detector.
But it depends on the
analysis. If our analysis technique is improved, Maybe we can see more events.
Yeah, I think it would be nice. I'm sure that you have somewhere the simulations taking into account the knowledge on the neutrino flux versus energy, which you have shown, but also the response of the detector, the background suppression, and so on. It would be nice to see the simulations which you have.
Yeah, right. So we have some rough estimations. It's about one astrophysical event per one cluster per year.
Yes, of course. Any other questions? I don't see. Thank you very much for the presentation.
And the last point on the agenda for today, this is the general discussion. For that, I guess that we can ask additional questions or have the remarks on all topics which were discussed today. So discussion is open. I expect that the committee members will take active part in the discussion. I guess that somebody should start. So let me start with the first question related to the 7-year plan. It was mentioned during the presentation that there is expected deficit in the neutron facilities or in neutrons in general in Europe, and I think the IBR2 facility can play and will play, I'm pretty sure, very important role in the coming years. So how would you like to to open even more this this facility to other users, which will not find enough neutrons in Europe in the coming years?
Look, I think the facility is fully open. Yeah, so we can we can't do too much for opening this facility more. But what is the feature of IBR2? It has, for example, in terms of number of spectrometers, it has 15, while ILL has, I believe, 45, yeah, something like that. Our laboratory has some amount of possibilities, but currently, at the moment, the European possibilities are much larger. When I'm saying that it will be the problem with neutrons in Europe, I refer, I'm not the expert in the topic, but I refer to the consideration which was done recently by European Forum, and there is a specific report provided by Strategic Group for Physics and Engineering concerning future of reactors in Europe, and there is there are clearly different scenarios, but clearly some reactors will be going to shut down. It is not trivial to say what and why, because some people say that probably that's why they are not necessary, because the material science is very much moving to synchrotron radiation sources. And even experts in neutron scattering say that if you compare the future of synchrotron radiation sources and neutron sources lost. So it is not trivial question, but I think that our institute, having a long tradition and experience, at least has to consider carefully what could be the future of a neutron source here. In the meantime, I think we will continue making the door open as much as possible to users. And probably I don't see here the problem in terms of administration or of infrastructure, something like that. I believe we are even today ready to accept more users. So no, I think no special measures should be taken for that. But probably, yeah, you comment.
Yeah, I would like to make some comments. What considering the number of users? I may say that, of course, we will be willing to have a bigger number of users in principle, yeah? But technically speaking, it's quite difficult to make previous consideration what is the optimal number of users we need. Yeah, because from year to year, from application to application, the number of hours needed for specific experiments is different. So you have a limited numbers of hours which reactor works. It's about 2,500 hours per year. You have a certain number of experimental facilities, I mean spectrometers, which can be used. So you cannot enlarge these parameters. It's a parameter done. So everything depends on the number of hours demanded by...
My number of hours cannot be increased?
Of the work of reactor?
Yeah.
There are some technical tasks. For example, when the reactor was designed, it was designed for these parameters, for 2,500 hours working per year in order to have the active core ready for working until 2032. Yeah? If you increase the number of hours working for reactor, you will decrease suddenly, proportionally, the capacity of work of the reactor. Yeah? This is one consideration. Another consideration is that physicist needs time between reactor cycles to change equipments at facilities. Yes? So if the reactor will work and part of the spectrometers will be closed to make some changes, will be a time lost. We will just lose neutrons. Why to have working permanently neutron facility, neutron source, and to have the choppers closed for some changes, when you can organize the work in a such a way that you will have some time between cycles to make some changes. This was the last year's the work policy of the reactor, and it's proved that it was a good one. Yeah? So we do not intend to change this. On the other side, the number of spectrometers. This was a question, can we or not increase the number of facilities? In principle, it's possible, but also with some limitation. We have just 14 channels, choppers, you can say choppers, which possibilities to take off the neutrons from the reactor. Yes? So, of course, in principle, it's possible to increase the numbers of spectrometers on each of these, but we have a limitation on space on the reactor hall. So it's not possible to put 40 spectrometers around a such small active core as we have. We have an active core of 20 liters. It's not possible to compare with ILL reactor. Because we have absolutely different geometry, the only parameter we can compare is the efficiency of the working of reactor, the number of neutrons we have per centimeter square per second. In pulse, we are comparable with the ILL. This is the situation by now. Regarding the number of experiments done in number of hours of working of the reactor and divided to the number of spectrometers, we are at the level of reactor in München. We have the same charge of the spectrometers on the time of work of reactor. So, what I may say by now.
May I just have a complimentary question? You mentioned the possibility of a new project. Of this, this is kind of pulsed neutron source, or this will be, of course you know that, but this ESS under construction in Europe, so I don't worry about the number of users in Europe for neutrons. I think then this will be kept more or less at this level, if the neutrons can be provided.
I think that it is too early to say about what kind of source. It was actually the active discussion at the previous PEC. But the output of this discussion was that there is still not the moment to discuss about concrete idea what this source would be. So it is too early. People from the reactor basically said a few days ago that they need some years, at least two, I believe it was, or three, to elaborate the real idea. Yeah, so it is too early.
Other topics? Yes, Eben, please.
Just manage a comment on the presentation by Sergei on the rapid developments of the installation of the cyclotron. I mean, someone who had experience in, you know, trying to set up a cyclotron facility, I would just send my personal commendations for this rapid development, despite the initial setback that they experienced with the earlier contractors, that they were able to recover and deliver it in reasonable time. So it's at least I hope my colleagues in Cape Town learn from that. Thank you.
Maybe a following question. We had during the coffee break quite some discussions around the presentation on the budget, which you made, general budget for GNR. And I think it would be nice to put this in the context of this pack. So that means the projects which we are discussing, also in the pack. So also, if possible, to have the full vision, both on the budget, on the manpower, and if there are any, how to say, the delicate points in with respect to the projects in the coming years. I'm not talking about this analysis for this pack, of course, it's not possible, but I think for the next pack it would be interesting to understand if there some projects are in, I would not say in danger, but if there are any difficulties due to the budget or deficit in the budget, in the manpower and so on. I think in order to have the full vision of what we are discussing, it would be nice to have some numbers which are, I mean, covering the full vision of the projects. Discuss for at this pack, of course, only. Mm-hmm.
Well, I can say that we could provide that. I would like to understand better what do you mean. So you mean some kind of table where each project is mentioned as a line, and some expected expenditures in materials some provisional picture it could be presented. Actually, this detailed budget is considered year by year, clearly. But as a general statement, I should say that for the moment, the only danger I see is the general deficit of budget, because the planning was considered really more or less in details for the 7-year plan, and I think there are no specific points which are in danger as we see now. But anyhow, the detailed table could be presented if you would like it. No problem.
You might simply help to discuss the priorities, if there are any. For a moment, we are discussing the projects more or less on the same priority list, with the same priorities in different domains. But if there is, I hope that deficit, of course, will be covered.
Sure.
But if these problems are for 1 or 2 years more, that it might happen that we should also discuss priorities among different domains. Mm?
Yeah, I could only recommend that you put some specific sentence in recommendation, saying that you would like to have for next time such a kind of statistics. I don't know how to say.
Yes, please.
Just a clarification. I don't know, maybe Sergei Dmitriev is not here, but just to have better clarification on what will happen at the end of December, when it was stated that first experiment will be scheduled by the end of December. If this experiment means already being on target with the gas field separator, or would mean just extraction of the beam, that's why I'm asking, because you're here. It will be just extraction of the beam, or because I assume that the commissioning of the cyclotron will take some time. You want to measure the performances, the quality of the beam just extracted and so on. So there is a sequence of steps that should be taken before a real experiment is run. So my question was just how to clarify about this point. If it will be first day, let's say, you already mentioned the first day experiment will be like calcium on americium or plutonium, but what will happen before? Will you be ready by December to run this?
First of all, now we are ready for testing, and if we get electricity, high power, approximately 1 megawatt, in our experimental hall, we will start with measurement of topography of a magnetic field. Mechanically, tests show it. It's a hope that everything will be okay. Then it's a very big part of work to overcome all formalities, to get the license, to work with highly radioactive targets with this experimental hole. For example, 100 milligram of americium, or 20 milligram of californium. It's big work. Then I would say it's really possible to get the first beam end of this year. But of course, traditionally, it will be not calcium 48 on americium or something else. I think it's usually argon 40 on dysprosium, because it's the easiest way to measure all the parameters of the beam. And as Sergei mentioned, in June we will check our new gas field separator at the in France, this Sigma Phi farm, and if all the tests will be okay, then end of summer we will get it in Dubna, and then we will need, I think, 1-2 months to assemble it and to check and make calibrations. And it's the end of the year, and I hope we will start the first check with, as I said, dysprosium on plus argon. It's a reality, if nothing happens. Yeah. And then I think it's a not a radioactive target, then we don't need special licenses for this. And I hope everything will be okay end of this year. So maybe a real experiment will start in summer 18.
Sigurd, please.
What is the status of the detector system? Do you plan some new arrangement, or you just use the old one?
No, we plan the new arrangement. It's 100 by 100 millimeter with backward detectors and double-sided, and using the time analysis and pulse shape analysis, everything. It's ordered now, and computers and servers are ordered. Then you need gas purification system for the gas field separator. Everything is now running. We have now our own detectors. We have germanium detectors and clover detectors also. We bought it this year. It's now installed at Shells, this Gabriele or the Claudette, it's now. And the first run with these detectors will be in May of this year.
Claude, please.
I have a question to the targets for the super heavies. Is that not interesting to consider rotating targets, since you have higher currents and you may be limited in heat production? Is that the issue, or is this not interesting because of the limited amount of target material?
It's everything together. First of all, you reduce the specific power deposit on the area of the target. Then you provide a cooling down of the target. Nobody knows whether it's good or not, because the annealing of the target is also very important, because theoretical predictions show that the lifetime of the target is only a few hours. But targets are living 3,000 hours. Theoretically, it's impossible to predict it. Then, of course, it would be good to have maybe 100 milligram of californium 251, but it's more than the whole available amount in the world. But if you use californium 249, then you are limited through radiation safety regulations by only 10 or 15 milligrams, only, and so on. Everything together. The stagnant targets, the stationary targets, are also good, but you will need to have a cooling. Gas field separator provides a cooling. I think one can speak about this 1 month, all the problems.
Yeah, on the same subject, part of the targets were produced in Oak Ridge. Wouldn't it be good to have an own laboratory here to repair the targets and to produce these radioactive targets in-house?
It's possible, but it's also limited in amount of target material, because comparing to our regulations, our laboratory in Oak Ridge is a first class, and we have only the second class here. We have a room, no, it means not the quality of the laboratory, the amount of material. It differs by 50 times what is allowed. Hot cells are only in Oak Ridge. We have the same not far here in Dimitrovgrad, and this new Institute for Advanced Reactor Studies, but it's what is easier to get it from Oak Ridge or from Dimitrovgrad, I don't know. Easy targets can be prepared here. Curium targets will be prepared here. Berkelium we have prepared in Dimitrovgrad, but to with Californium it goes only in Oak Ridge. It will be assembled here. It was very difficult to get the permission to this, but it's possible, but not to prepare, to manufacture.
Other questions? Maybe if I may change the topic on the neutrinos, it was mentioned in the presentation of Professor Rusakovich that it's recommended for the neutrino detector in Baikal to enter the international collaboration and to in the kind of network. So how is it? Are there any actions towards this today? So you are already in the network or discussing with these detectors?
As I know, we are on the way. So we have contacts with people from IceCube and from people from KN3Net experiment, and this already organizes this General Neutrino Observatory, something like that. But at the moment, this development is, I would say, not very fast. There's some stagnation, I would say. But nevertheless, it is settled, and we plan to participate strongly in this. It's our goal, something like that.
We still have some time. If there are any other questions? I don't see any. So let's thank all speakers which we had today for the very nice reports and answering the questions. Thank you very much.
Just to remind you that at 7 o'clock it will be the kind of reception here. Now I don't know if you would like to leave or stay here. You.